Hello and welcome to the latest NWSL preview for Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavam, and again, I'm joined by my friend JJ Duke out in the United States. JJ, you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good, man. This preview, we are looking at the Portland Thorns, who, of course, finished top of the NWSL table last year. They won the Shield, but unfortunately for them, came unstuck in that thrilling semi-final against what is now the North Carolina Courage. They won the league last year, JJ, because they had an abundance of talent in every area. They've managed to pretty much retain the majority of that. They've lost Michelle Batos, who's gone off to play in Norway with Vålerenga. But when you look at the roster they have at their disposal, you have to say they are going to be up there again, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a plethora of riches, isn't it? I mean, you know, you and I were talking before recording and seeing, you know, where are the holes? I mean, defensively, they've been utilizing that three-back system under Mark Parsons, and it's worked out wonders. The midfield, is there a better midfield in the league? Maybe we can even extend that to the world right now. I don't know. Forwards, world-class players all the way around. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that they've retained nearly every key piece of that puzzle from a year ago is big for them. But now having some players there for the entirety of the season that weren't there last year, that's only going to make things even better.
I guess I look at them, and we discussed it during the Chicago Red Stars preview, an abundance of talent. Managed to keep hold the vast majority of the players from last year. But we saw, well, it was a crazy game, wasn't it? I think we could probably replay that game against what was then the Western New York Flash probably 10 times and it wouldn't finish 4-3. I think it was just one of those where it was like a basketball match, wasn't it? You go up one end and you score. We'll go up and then you will score. You go up an end and you score, and so on and so forth. And it was just one of those freakish games, wasn't it, where defence kind of disappeared and it was all about the attacks. I guess for that reason, do maybe we're talking about where do we find the weaknesses? I look at the defense. I think they've got some incredible defenders, the likes of Emily Menges, who for me had her breakout year last year, should have had US Women's National Team honors by now and hasn't. I look at Emily Sonnet, who should be playing more for the US Women's National Team but isn't, and I can't explain that one. But I wonder if we saw a little bit of naivety in that playoff game that they maybe need to rid when they go into this season.
I mean, you know, I almost kind of throw that one out the door, Kieran, because that's a one-off game. You change game plans, or at least tinker and alter so many times that it probably is a complete 180 than it was when they started the match. So I put that aside, and I look by the regular season standpoint. The backs are, you know, they're solid all the way around. You have Klingenberg out wide. You have Sonnet and Menges in the middle, or however it flex it works. Kendall Johnson there for cover as well, as long as two is Catherine Reynolds. I think the big one for me is it's the goalkeeping. I mean, Michelle Batos has had that number one jersey for the past couple of years and has been threatened but hasn't let it go. And now you have Adriana French, for those who remember back in 2013, she was a standout for the Western New York Flash. Got injured, then went away for a little bit, and then came back from playing overseas prior to last year. Played in a handful of games. Probably could have even, especially when Michelle Batos, she had, what was it, shoulder issues, I think, at times, where like she just looked like she was playing in pain for some matches. AD French could have probably played more than she did last year, didn't. But now you have her and Britt Eckerstrom, you're thinking going to be the 1-2. Inexperienced, which is crazy to think that French nearly won the Shield, the title for Western New York on her own in her rookie year. But since then, we haven't had a whole lot to talk about her. But that's a big talking point this year.
Yeah, Michelle Batos, still the only goalkeeper to score in the NWSL's history. So not only are you losing a good goalkeeper, you are losing a goal-scoring threat as well. So it'd be interesting to see if she can continue those exploits in Norway with Vålerenga. But I completely agree. You know, Adriana Franch, very highly thought of, very highly rated, but did have to play second fiddle to Michelle Batos when she was doing her thing between the pipes last year. And it'll be interesting to see how she adapts. She's obviously had some time with the US Women's National Team in camp as well, so that will have, I'm sure, been beneficial. I look at the back we've already discussed, and I agree with you. I think that they have some good pieces of the puzzle there. I really rate Emily Sonnet. I know I mentioned her earlier, but I thought she was excellent last year, and I can see why she was the number one pick in the draft when she was taken out of the colleges, and I think she's only going to get better. But I think we mentioned it earlier, the midfield is where their real strength lies. Although I will say this, they are going to lose two of those midfielders to the Euros. Now, we know that there is a long FIFA window that exists during the Euros, so there will be some US Women's National Team games, and I think the NWSL will probably, no doubt, have the odd break here and there. So how affected teams will be by the Euros, we're not quite sure at this moment, but Dagny Brynjarsdóttir, Amandine Henry, and while we're talking about them, Nadia Nadim as well, all going to be missing for the Portland Thorns for a short period of time this season. That's going to be a blow to them, especially when you look at the quality that they'll be losing.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, but this is now a thing that not just the Thorns are realizing, but every team will realize or has realized with World Cups and Olympics and whatnot. It's one of those things where you have to learn to adjust, right? Portland did that last year. They're one of the teams that you're a little surprised and thinking, well, you know, what does Mark Parsons have up his sleeve to maybe grind out some results? They grinded them out, and they got 3 points nearly every time that they took the field. So, yeah, they're losing class. There's no doubt about it. But they have the framework that they can rely on in these moments, and they can go back to it, and we might see something special. You know, again, this sport is funny like that. You may not have a team with all the best superstars, or your superstars might not be performing up to the level you're expecting. Someone else is going to eventually step up to the plate and deliver a performance that's going to inspire the rest of the team to reach that same level. So, yeah, no, it's going to be tough, but I think of all the teams, Portland are equipped to handle.
And we've seen that in the past, haven't we? We saw players like Meg Morris come in. She had an impact. I think Marna Shim, who has been pretty much there since day one, I think she is an important player for them when we have the likes of Amandine Henry and Dagny Brynjarsdóttir missing, because I think she offers something that is important for the side. That continuity, having been there since, well, pretty much since the NWSL started out, and a popular player there as well. So no doubt she brings a lift to the team when she's involved. And when you look at the forward players, you see players like Hayley Rasso, who have had a role to play as well, and no doubt she will again have some involvement along the likes of the more established internationals like Christine Sinclair and Tobin Heath. But what will be interesting as well is that in June they will have Ashley Sykes to call upon, the Australian international, who was one of the standouts in the W League with Canberra United, and that's going to add only more depth to that forward line, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough unit already to break into. You know, when you talk about Tobin Heath, Nadia Nadim and Christine Sinclair, that's about as good of a three that you can get throughout the entire league. But now you add Sykes into the equation, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a, you know, transitional period. But you know, the advantage that Australian players have to coming in this league is, you know, by playing in the W League, they get to play against and with a lot of NWSL players. So they'll pick up tips and trades that'll help them going forward. So she's due in June, no doubt that mentally she'll be ready to go. Physically could also be there as well, and I think that's a great move for Portland. I mean, you can't ever not have enough good goal scorers.
No, and actually, do you know what? We've mentioned a couple of the midfielders that they'll lose during the Euros in Dagny and Amandine Henry. Two midfielders who also provide goal scoring threats are Lindsay Horan and Ali Long. So actually add those two to the forward line. It's quite scary, isn't it, what Portland could produce? I mean, Ali consistently, year after year, is on the score sheet for Portland since the NWSL started. Lindsay Horan, for me, probably didn't get the plaudits that maybe she should have because Tobin Heath was so phenomenal, especially in those early weeks. But actually, when you look at how Lindsay slotted in after her time in PSG, and I think that time in France was hugely beneficial for her. Going over there so young was, I'm sure, quite a daunting challenge, but She's learned from that. She's played with some world-class players, and she's brought that over to the NWSL. And actually, I thought she was excellent last year.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I know that both of those players in general, you've always been very highly rated of them. So they're going to, you know, they'll be playing in two systems, playing with Dagny and Amandine through the beginning of the season. Then, you know, the months of June and July, they're going to be shining in the center of the park, and it's going to be up to them to carry forward. But yeah, now, again, this is kind of going along the entire trend that we've had. You know, this is a team that no matter how they've bent and, you know, had to bend for various roster issues, they've made it work. Now it's just going to be the part of putting it together and bringing home a title, because they've been, obviously they won it in year one, they've been there in other years, but now can they put it together and bring home their second championship?
We've talked in these previews kind of sporadically about the coaching influences. We've talked about Matt Beard's overhaul in Boston and Rory Dames' record with young players. What about the Mark Parsons factor on this Portland team? I don't know if you're in on the call, but I seem to remember a conference call last year where Mark Parsons was about to come on the phone and Megan Klingenberg essentially gate-crashed it and decided to randomly sing Happy Birthday with a load of journalists on the other end of the phone. And you kind of heard Mark Parsons chuckle to himself and kind of sort of said, you know, this is the madhouse that I'm in charge of. And he's created that kind of laid-back environment, hasn't he, in that he clearly has the respect of his players. He clearly gives them some freedom that allows them to express themselves and be an individual, but also kind of commands that respect and commands that authority that a head coach should have. And I think what he's done in Portland has been pretty miraculous. When you look at what Paul Riley has done with North Carolina, he wasn't able to do that with Portland, whereas Mark Parsons has gone in there and he's got a very, very strong group of players playing as a team and actually playing in an environment where they seem to be having fun as well.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to kind of pick the brain of him a little bit, you know, to see. And some days he holds his cards very close, and some days, you know, you're going to hear everything, you know, that you'd love to know about how it has been for him to be successful. He is a person that drives on being prepared and trying to be ready for every situation, and wanted to make it so, and he told me this in an interview last year, that his job is to make sure that everybody on that team knows their role and what they have to do on a given day, whether it's a game or a practice, to help that team get to their common goal. And he is meticulous about everything that he does, but he also does bring that, you know, once they're out of, you know, off the training field, out of, you know, the rooms, the preparation rooms, and, you know, breaking down game film, all that jazz, it's lighthearted. Everything that, you know, he wants in an environment, he has it. Now the question is, and I might get a little flack from him for it, but winning the big game, winning the game that matters. We had 2 years with Washington Spirit, knocked down the semifinals. Last year with Portland, same thing. When is he going to lead his team to get to where they want to be, bringing home a championship? It's 0-3 thus far, and, you know, does he find it within himself, his staff, and his players to get over that hump, to get to the championship game, and then ultimately win it?
Really interesting point you made there. Really, really interesting about the three semifinal defeats. I'm sure Mark, as you say, won't thank us for bringing that up, but I think it also shows not only the fact that he needs to try and get over that hurdle and win a big game, but it's consistency as well. He has taken two sides to three semifinals in the last 3 years, and I think that deserves applause as well. And now it's an opportunity for him with a very, very talented squad to try and take them beyond that and into a final. But we'll see. We'll see. I think he's done a tremendous job so far. Big challenge for him again, like it is for a lot of the coaches this year. And it'll be interesting to see if they can top what they were able to achieve last year. But we will wrap it up there, mate. And when we come back after the break, we will have a chat with a member of the Portland Thorns.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
All right, and welcome back to our continuing coverage here on WOSO Zone of the NWSL season preview as our Portland Thorns player interview. And joining us right now as we are really right on the cusp of beginning the regular season is Emily Mangus. And Emily, thanks for chatting with us for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. And first off, as we said, getting closer and closer to opening week, how are things coming together up in Portland?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me. Things are shaping up well. I mean, we've hosted the preseason tournament here and played the U23 team, Chicago came over, and Houston came, and those are great games every year just to get us. I mean, every team is kind of wiping off the dust a little bit, but it's good to play teams that we're then going to see in the competition that we're then going to see later on the season. So it's going along well.
Yeah, you mentioned that preseason tournament. How much of an advantage is that for a team like Portland, also a team like Chicago and Houston who played in it, who get to play three quality matches? Not to say that playing against college opponents aren't quality. Of course, there's some very good teams out there, but it's a little bit of a different level knowing when you're playing professional teams in a warm-up setting.
Oh, yeah. I think it's hugely important. Especially for if you've got new girls coming in, trying out, just to see how they kind of shape up with the team and against the opponents that they're going to play against. And, it's the competition that we're going to see all throughout the season, and there's nothing that's going to match it, especially for those players who, like myself, who have not played a game in 6 months and kind of need that, even from a fitness standpoint or anything. I think it's hugely important. It's great that a few of our teams at least get to do that.
How much time do you need? You talked about, you know, getting back into match shape. How much time do you need from having that much layoff to get yourself back to where you want to be?
Fitness-wise, I feel like the three games pretty much did it. I mean, the first game is always going to be terrible, and for those of us who didn't play for a few months, at least games, felt it that first game, but that's what it was for. And but I think those three games, and we've got a few more just against college kids, it does help get the kinks out, and I think we're ready to go now. I mean, the first few games of the season are always going to be super intense, and everyone's going to be so excited to get going, and it's going to be, everyone's just going to be flying around the field, all home openers all around the country. But I think once the first few games get under our belt, we'll settle down.
The roster for this team, it's a lot of returning faces, not too many new players coming into the mix. How much of that is a benefit for you guys, knowing that there's not that, you know, sort of awkward getting to know you period, and you can go right onto the field and continue where you left off last year?
It's been great, and we even acknowledged it in some of our first team meetings. We do have a few new girls who have come to try out, and we've got a new goalie, so there are a few new girls who are kind of have that awkward getting to know you phase. But we're kind of taking the standpoint of more of a building year than a development, or a development year more than like a building year. So I think it's a huge advantage. We can kind of, even though 6 months off is going to set us back a little bit, we're kind of more than any other team, I think, starting where we left off.
And picking up where you left off, summarize last year, because there's a lot of highs, but the season kind of ended on a way that you guys didn't want to have it.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it did. Winning the Shield was awesome, and that's a huge honor and everything, but it's never going to feel as good if you don't then go on to win the championship. So I think we all feel that, and I don't know. I think that motivates us every single day to prepare for this season, and knowing that we were cut short last year and the years in the past. So, yeah, I think that's only going to help us this year.
I'm curious to hear from an athlete's perspective. Do you go back and watch that game? Not just for the sense that because it was a tough one for you guys, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that for a lot of people might have been the most memorable game in all of women's soccer last year, that semifinal against Western New York.
Yeah, I have not watched it. I did not want to. I know no will to watch it. I know my coach obviously watched it. My roommate watched it. I know that. But, yeah, I know there's a couple of us who it's more of a move-on attitude. We can remember those feelings. We can remember how terrible it felt, but now we've just got to move on.
For sure. Was just curious is all. But now moving forward, as you said, year two under Mark Parsons. What has he brought to this club that's a little bit different in the past? Because you've been here now for 4 years, so you've seen a change in leadership from, you know, the manager perspective. What does he bring different to the table as opposed to years past?
I think something that Mark is really good at is focusing on individual improvement. So instead of, and every coach obviously wants every individual to do the best they can because that's how you make a good team, but instead of, he puts the team first, obviously, and expects us to put the team first, but he also, he's not letting anybody settle at where they are, so he doesn't just pick on the players who can't do things as well. He kind of zeroes into everybody's maybe weakness, strength, and he creates a game plan, basically, around the players that he has, and he then he starts constructing the practices around how to make those players better at the things that they're already good at and better at the things that they need work on to fit into this whole strategy. So I think it's there's a way bigger focus on the individual and working with the players he has instead of kind of having this game plan and then trying to force the players that might not be as good at those positions and those techniques into those positions, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And for the 1 year that you've worked with him here in Portland, what are some of the things that he's been able to diagnose out of your game to help you improve on the field?
Yeah, well, we worked on my left foot the entire offseason, so that's definitely something. I would say composure, a little bit of range of passing, left foot for sure. He changed a lot of how I defend and how the team defends is something I've never defended the way that he's told us. Last year we focused on a lot as a back four, not individually, but yeah, I mean, there's tons for everything, and it's funny because I can name a ton for myself and I can probably name a few for other players, but he doesn't care if other people know what I'm working on. He cares that I know what I'm working on, and I think that's what's cool about him. He expects you to The communication from him is really good. He tells me what I need to work on and what my role is on the team, and then it's up to me to kind of work on that and make the most out of all the training sessions, working on everything that I know that I have to do.
You talked about a few minutes ago about how he doesn't like to mix things up and put players in positions that he knows he's not going to see them succeed in. Now, the last couple of years, you guys, like every other team in the league, have had to, you know, go through roster depth and roster changes just because of international competitions. This year, Portland will be hit a little bit due to the Euros, but in a grand scheme of things, nowhere near as badly as it was in years past. My question to you is, now knowing that you have this group with you for the entire year, the majority of the season, what is this team going to look like, and how good can Portland really be this year?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think even from, because last year when a lot of the players left for the Olympics and the year before for the World Cup, we were hit hard, but the players who were here did a great job as well, and I think that we won most of the games, if not tied. We didn't drop any points when those players were gone, so the players that filled in did a phenomenal job. But I think mainly from a focus standpoint, where everyone's focus now is not, well, when do I have to go to camp next? When am I leaving? When do I have my next 16-hour flight? It's more the focus, I think, will more be on Portland, on the Thorns, and this league here, which I think will be huge.
That's definitely valuable insight, because yeah, a lot of people don't think about the fact that, you know, a lot of these international players, they have multiple things that they're balancing, you know, within their mental state, as opposed to just thinking about, well, my job is here on the field right now. So that's a good point. And, you know, to kind of wrap things up, obviously you said that disappointment from last year, not being able to get to the final, and the chance to hoist a trophy. How motivated are you guys this year to not only revenge that loss from a year ago, but to get to a final and to be able to hoist the trophy, the first one for the club since the opening year of the NWSL?
Yeah, I think it's huge for us. And every year we've kind of made different strides. Like last year we won the Shield in our first home playoff game. And I think every year we've kind of gotten that much closer, and it's been that much harder than to lose early. And so I think, I mean, we're all motivated. We all want it so bad, and it's what we think about every day when we step on the field.
For sure. Well, Emily, thank you very much for chatting with us. We appreciate it, and best of luck as you get ready for opening weekend.
Thanks so much. This is great.
Absolutely. So that was Emily Mangus of the Portland Thorns. That will do it for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Stay tuned for more NWSL preview shows here in WOSO Zone. For my colleague Kieran Tatham, I'm JJ Duke. Signing off. Until next time, goodbye for now.